It's the herb at the end of the world. It's the herb at the end of the world. It's the time I took some time to heal.
It's time
I took some time to heal.
It's time
I took some time to heal. And I feel fine, kind of. Hey everyone, Samwise here, local community herbalist. And we have a bonus episode today with another episode about Apple, because it turns out Apple cannot be contained into just one two-hour episode. And yeah, I'm really blessed and fortunate to be able to interview my dear friend Heather Enders about their Tarot of Plants deck, where the Apple features as the World card. It's a really beautiful deck, and it's one that I use frequently. And yeah, I get curious about how Apple can symbolize the world, all encompassing all things. And the more I dig into Apple, the more I realize that it's definitely this energy of returning to ways of being and to old ways and to world conceptions that may have gotten lost or distorted over time. And I'm really grateful to the energy of Apple itself for that. I really enjoy hearing mention of apple trees and lore or stories about reconnecting to lineages that I belong to. And yeah, it's been really, really fruitful to really delve into this this medicine that I think can get taken for granted, since we see it in the grocery store and don't think a whole lot about it, and the tree itself and the energy of the medicine itself. So here's another one for Apple. And thanks again to all of the patrons that make this work possible. I'm really grateful for this community of learners and people who want to support the work that I do for making all this totally possible. I really appreciate everyone who's taking some of their hard-earned income and putting it towards magic and reconnection. And yeah, all of the beauty and growth and healing that can come from that. And as I say that, I actually see the first little drops of snow flake. I think people say flakes coming down from the sky. Hard to say. But yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting. If you haven't yet and have the means, even something like $5 a month is really a great way to support this work and this podcast. So I invite you to come visit us on Patreon. You can find it by Googling for Patreon and then Samwise Raritan Community Herbalist. So thanks again for all that support and love and creation. And with that, I'll introduce you to this episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of Herb at the End of the World. And I am here with my friend Heather Enders. And today we're talking about the energy of Apple, the tarot, and maybe potatoes. I don't know. But welcome, Heather.
Hello. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you here. I met Heather working at an herb shop, and I'm just, yeah, really excited to talk about the deck that you created, the Tarot of Plants, which I use every day. Today I pulled garlic, which is very apropos because I have to plant garlic today and a bunch of bulbs. So I was like, okay, fine. yeah, Heather is an artist who is in touch with nature and plants and things, is a folk astrologist, and yeah, the creator of this deck. So yeah, I'm really excited to have you be on the show.
I'm really excited to be here. You have like Yay. So much knowledge and so much passion for what you do that it's just really cool to collaborate with you.
Yay! I'm so glad we're doing it. Yeah, I'm excited about that. And yeah, excited to create some audio art. And yeah, and ask you about the tarot and how you got into it, and just yeah, wanting to take a moment to honor the lineage of tarot as a Romani ancestral practice that was often shared out of like places of survival, and yeah, like I was just listening, we were talking about this before we started recording about the hardships and oppression that Romani people are still encountering to this day. Like I did not know the level of discrimination and just like even like still legal like ways of being excluded from like everyday life that Romani people are still facing. So yeah, I really want to like name that and honor that and thank the Romani people for the endurance of their life ways that I get to know by interacting with the archetypes of the tarot. So yeah, how did you find your way to this particular set of archetypes?
Well, for me, it's like a lot of things in my life, and I have no idea how I got there. Randomly one day, I used to work at the library at my college at Mass Art in Boston, and there was an occult section like all the way in the back of the library. So me and my friends started getting like really obsessed with going to the occult section and taking out books on how to read astrology. And I found like an encyclopedia of tarot. And so it was just like a three-piece book that had all these different illustrations. And so before I really got into tarot reading as a practice, I really liked the art behind it and how it could tell a story. And I started thinking of making a plant tarot deck then, before I even had worked with a tarot deck. And then it was through a coworker, probably when I was 24, 25, I think. She bought me a tarot deck because she knew I was intrigued by it, but I felt like it needed to be gifted to me, which people have mixed feelings on. And I think that's fair. Both sides are totally legit. But then I got into tarot, yeah, probably when I was 24, 25, got the Wild Unknown deck, and then really started practicing tarot probably 8 years ago at this point. And kind of started to learn tarot through making the first edition of the tarot plants I made. And so I had been working with the archetypes a lot for a couple of years. I was still pretty new, but then I really wanted the plants to be the main focus. And so I wanted to see all these archetypes through the lenses of what I knew with my interactions with plants. And that's kind of how I got to the whole tarot plants. And once I made my own deck, it was like kind of something I really made into my own daily practice because I think I made something that was just like so specific to me that it was hard not to use it almost.
Yeah, totally. And that's what I love too about this deck. Not only the art, I really enjoy because it's beautiful, and it's also like a similar to a style of art that I like to make too, like the pen and ink drawings and that are like watercolored. Like that just feels really like flowing and like what kind of most easily comes out of my being. So I love that style is there. And yeah, I like hear like reading the book that you created about it, that's a little more extended, and like kind of hearing some of your stories about how you interact with these plants is really like beautiful and telling and just like yeah, really like rich and storied. And like it also like I have so many like questions. I totally have, why Mullen for the chariot? But like you know, you're not, I gotta focus because there's just like so much.
Well, it's really
But
hard because I feel like some of them I just picked because I'm like that just seems right, and then I have to go backwards and find the words behind why they mean the same thing, and I'm like, ooh, that's challenging. Like I can feel their energies working together, but like getting the words to explain why those two energies make sense to me is really difficult, I found.
Yeah, and I think yeah, creating space for that intuition too is just really powerful. And like yeah, for me that mystery too of like this energy and this plant, like sometimes it's not like immediately obvious to me. Like okay, so my cat went missing And she was like, we moved to a new place and we're like, okay, she's gone. She's on a walkabout. That's like totally fine. She does that. But it was like day five. And I was like, okay, now I'm really worried. Like, where is she? So I, like, when I get really worried about the cat, when she's missing, I like usually turn to like tarot. Cause I'm just like, I have no other way of ascertaining her whereabouts. So like, what, you know, what is happening here? And I get lots of cryptic answers. But one of them about her like well-being was, I pulled, I think it's the two of spring in your deck, and crocus, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so like, and I was kind of like looking that up and being like, oh, like, okay. So two, and so in your deck, the suits are associated with, seasons. So like spring is wands, summer is cups, fall is, pentacles, and winter is swords, which like, yes. I get that. So yeah, so the two of spring or the two of wands, in my interpretation of this particular moment, because the card I pulled was like, what is happening for my cat? Mm-hmm. And it was like making a decision, like needing to like make a decision about like what happens next, like not necessarily taking action right in that moment, but kind of like making a decision to like make action. And I was like, okay. All right, so hopefully she's gonna decide to like come home soon. And like ultimately she was like stuck in this like 30 to 40 foot walnut tree with no other branches. So I had to like, we had to get this like giant ass ladder. And I had to like climb up in the, well, first of all, anyways, I had to like find where this tree was and I had to like go through all these like hoops to get there. Cause I had to like ask permissions of my like conservative neighbors. So I was like, hello, I'm like super obviously gay. Can I like walk through your property? Please don't shoot me. And so I finally got permission. Just calling her. I'm like, meow, 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 meow. I found her. Right. And so, and then I had to like make a decision because she had climbed up further into the tree. I had two people holding the ladder for me. Mm-hmm. And like she climbed up higher where I couldn't get her. And I was like, okay, we have to call the fire department. Like I can't do this safely. So mm-hmm. They like left and like my partner and someone else. And so I was like kind of standing there just like keeping her company. And then I had to like make this decision when I saw her come down to where I could get her. I was like, am I going to climb up this ladder like by myself with like no one holding this ladder for me? And then I was like, I am gonna make that decision. So I like kind of climbed up a little bit and I climbed up more and I was like, does this feel safe? Kind of. And then I had to like grab her by her scruff and then she like held on to the tree, right? And so then she had to make the decision to like go of her little claws stuck in the tree and let go and like hold on to me. And I was just like, two decisions and then very much like vertical, kind of like this shape of focus. And I was like, okay. Anyway, that's a long story, but the other card that I pulled in like this exploration of where is my cat and how can we connect, and I was like, how can we connect, was the world card, and that was apple. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna talk to Heather soon about this deck and about the world card and about why Heather picked apple, because I'm like, I don't understand. But it was kind of this like culmination of this journey with this decision, these two decisions, but I don't know. So that's all to say, what is up with the world card and why did you pick apple?
The world card is one of the hardest cards, I feel like, to understand because of how big it is. Because it is the last of the major arcana. So it's like encompassing everything. I always look at it as kind of like Pisces. That kind of energy of like complete everything, all encompassing. And so when you first said that you got that for communicating with your cat, it's like, oh yeah, the cat's a part of my web of life. Thank you, Captain Obvious. Like, what do I do with that information? But I mean, and then I think the reason why I got to apple was I'm from the Northeast, and I know Northeasterners love to like say that what they do is like the most special, even though it's something that's pretty universal. But like apple fests were a really big thing in the fall, and so that was like things that the towns gathered around were these apple fests, and then the lore of Johnny Appleseed, and like kind of going into Botany Desire type ideas around the apple was really what got me to choose that card for the world, because like you were saying, there's so much lore around apples, it's almost overwhelming. And so like, what better plant to pick than this something that we all know and it's so like every day, but it's also filled with so much information and so much connotation and so much like symbolism and all of these things, even though it's just a little apple. And why is an apple any different than a tomato? Like, but it is, it really is. And I mean, they were used as like, you'd plant a fruit tree to kind of stake your claims with the colonists and all that stuff. It's just so wrapped up in like so many different aspects. And there's so many different like genetic varieties in the apple seeds that are in each apple that it's just like, it's this fractaling kind of like constantly getting bigger and getting smaller and like can go in so many different veins that it almost seems like it's never ending. And even though the world is more of like a culmination of things coming to an end and starting again, it still has that like everything, every little detail is a part of that experience in the end. So I'm not totally sure if that's a straightforward answer, but that's my answer.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, because a lot of what I've been thinking about with Apple is like the energy of like life and death and rebirth, like the energy of the turning of the wheel, like everything you need for birth is contained in death and everything you need for death is contained in birth. And like, yeah, that roundness to that, of this cycle. Yeah, totally. And I like how you, the art that you picked, like the view of the apple that you picked, I really admire that you picked like the star image where you like, if you cut an apple horizontally, then you'll sometimes see this like really beautiful, like 5-pointed star, which in my lineages, in the Celtic and Germanic lineages, like is a symbol for all of the interrelated elements, the like earth, air, wind, fire, and spirit, and like how those all correlate. And also those in conjunction with each other lead to the creation of the other.
Yeah. So, man, that's another layer that I haven't even thought of.
Oh, really? I was like, yeah, was there something in particular that inspired that?
I think it was mostly because in the first deck was the first tarot plants I did is all like black and white line drawings. And one of the things I found that makes that deck hard to use is because there's no color that like everything starts to look similar. And so I just had a drawing of like the outside of an apple. And then when I made the watercolor deck, I was like, oh, but I talk about the seeds being in the apple as being an important part. So why not like make it look like a world shape and have the horizontal cut? So it's one of those things that like happen and then you like look at it afterwards and you're like, oh, that was like subconsciously a really great decision.
Yeah. That was both of me and not of me.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And just the seeds of apples containing like this wildness and like this like wild genetic variation that like you really can't know what you will get if you plant an apple seed. Like you can even get like a really, really, really old variety, like a crab apple style, is like so heartening for me. It's just I'm like, oh yeah, like they, you know, they can remember what we maybe have forgotten and like what's been done by the like the crappy like Adam and Eve story with like the apple and like the banishment and stuff, like all that like apple slander, like you can still remember that like apples are about like wildness and like sex and life and death and rebirth and like this vitality that totally runs through us all the time. So
exactly, and that's why it gets the short end of the stick in the Adam and Eve story, because that having that wildness and that power in your own hands is really dangerous to the powers that be who are using religion as a power construct. So
yeah, they did not like that.
No. They did not like apples.
Yeah, and they didn't like what you made of apples. Like I'm thinking too about like the history of like brewing and beer, because like apples are also like really associated with like tonics and like cider and alcohol and like, you know, these like reverie festivals of like, you know, connecting and being joyous and raucous and wild. And then like the laws that came through in like medieval Europe being like, actually you can only make beer with hops, which is a sedative and slightly estrogenic, and you can't have anything else.
Oh my God.
So
Yeah, and I know at least
Yeah.
in the United States, I think there was a lot of cider making because of the apple trees and all that, and because you couldn't drink the water as much, and so people were just drinking cider, and because it was like a clean water, and that's always been a really weird concept to wrap my head around, being like, oh, so cider was more drank than water back in the day. There's a lot of boozy decision making going on. Like
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I did my first cider press the other day, which was really cool. We like gathered some apples from this like cooperative land project up out here in Currents, and like they have like a community apple press, and like we got to like see them all get squished, and like and I was like, oh my God, it's like a press. You could press like other things. Like the ancestral parts of my brain were like, you could press tinctures in this. I bet my ancestors pressed like whatever they wanted in this giant thing. But yeah, apples are a big deal out here, and I don't think I could have known that without like kind of being here and like kind of being in touch with that. But like, yeah, like apple, what were apples and like your experience of apples growing up in the Northeast like?
It was kind of like a marker of the season. It's like, okay, go back to school, and then there's apple picking, there's apple festivals. Apple festivals were kind of more just like craft fairs or just like community, kind of like a Labor Day parade or something like that. It wasn't something totally centered around the apples, which is kind of interesting. Like when you look at it as an older person, you're just like, why was it called Apple Fest if like it was really about throwing Tootsie Pops off the like fire trucks and like buying some candles or something. But it's always been kind of like this great hype, and I got to go back to the Northeast this past fall, and I totally got wrapped up in it again. I was like, yes, let's go to the apple orchard that I used to go to with my parents when we were growing up, and like eat the apple cider donuts. And we didn't actually go apple picking, but like it just is this, it creates this frenzy in the area that like it's kind of like the time of year everyone waits for and puts up with, the really hot, muggy summers, and then the really cold, like icy winters, and then there's 2 weeks where you get apples, and like everyone's so stoked on it.
Yeah, and it's such like a community endeavor too. Like the presses and stuff are like they're big and they're expensive, and like you kind of need multiple people to like really get a substantial amount of cider. And so it's I love that like this like this window of abundance like brings people together, like even to buy candles or whatever, like to have that that calling towards like community and like reverie and like yeah, celebration is like this really powerful like mechanism or like this like calling to remember that togetherness that I think is really necessary and beautiful in some way. Do you know much about the Johnny Appleseed stories? I truth be told, I did not do any research about him.
I mean,
There's a
it's
museum
Overplayed
in
Story.
Ohio. I apparently he was like kind of an eccentric figure, and like with the pot and the head and the apple seed, I don't really know. And like, what is his role in colonialism? Like,
I'm
what
pretty
is?
sure that he was in Massachusetts. I'm pretty sure he is from Massachusetts. I'm not totally sure, but he had some kind of like kind of out there religious beliefs. And so he was purposely planting apples from seed because he believed that like God should make the choice of what apple tree comes out. And he was like purely against the grafting. He felt like that was unnatural. That's some weird fact I know about him. And then he would go across the US because you need to have a fruit tree on your land for it to be like a valid claim, because it showed that you're going to stay there for a long period of time and put down roots. And so he was kind of the first nurseryman, just going across the country, like starting these apples from seed and then selling them to people who are going to use them on their plots of land to use them as like validity.
Interesting.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, that's like I'm like, wow, that's a mixed bag right there, because it's like it is a blessing to have of the apple tree, and also like wow, like our tools of like or like our life ways, our ancestral life ways can really be used as tools of colonialism if we don't, or if we're not like having an analysis of power and understanding So I did not know that. Thank you for telling me that.
I believe that's the whole story.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting though, because grafting, yeah, I wonder about grafting too. That has that element of like control of domestication that I like sometimes very suspicious of, but also, you know, I do enjoy having like, you know, apples that I can eat predictably. are true. And the new house that we moved into has two crabapple trees right in the front, kind of like flanking the driveway as our like little like energetic protectors. And I love this, like, because yeah, just I love knowing more about crabapples, that they kind of are like a little maligned, like they're sort of like, oh, like, you know, don't eat those, they're sour and it's too hot. But like, you know, historically those were like, you know, very, very ancient apples that like people did make cider, make, you know, medicine out of. And like, yeah, I love that they're old and like super hardy and like resistant to disease and just like, yeah, super the badasses of the apple realm.
Totally. Yeah. Cause I worked at an antique apple orchard at one point, at a botanic garden I worked at. I did it like for one summer when I was an intern, but it was completely overrun by fire blight, because that's a really big issue amongst apple trees, and it can spread really easily from like plant to plant. It's a systemic disease, and so like when the flowers open, I guess if the bees get into one that has the issue and then pollinates another one that doesn't, it'll pass it through the branches, and you have to kind of like chop off the branches before it gets to the main part of the tree and totally overtakes it and kills it. And yeah, so it was really crazy to like take care of these antique apples that like may or may not exist if they die on this orchard. And like it was kind of cool because it was a botanic garden, like they gave the trees like vaccines and like had all this like cutting edge tools to try and save these trees that like not every orchard person would have access to. And so it was cool to see that, but then it just reminds you of like, that's the issue with sometimes of these super domesticated plants, is they do need us so like heavily because they have co-evolved with us over time, that they're like a house cat or something like that. They're not as like feral as the crab apple.
They might get stuck in a 30-foot ball that need you to get them down.
Exactly. They need you to like interact with them and like tend to them. And that's where I really like appreciate that bond with plants. But like, yeah, it's sometimes hard because we've domesticated stuff so far, I feel like.
Yeah. Is fire blight a fungus?
I believe it's a fungus.
Okay. Yeah, there's a blight on some of the trees around here too. And I'm learning, I'm like, oh, does blight mean fungus? And I think some cases it does. But that's cool that they gave the trees medicine, because I often wonder about like what it would be like to give trees plant medicine. Like what would it be like to use like a walnut like wash or something on a tree with fungus? Or, you know, I don't have very many of my own trees, so I haven't tried that, but that's something that I think about from time to time, because especially as like the climate warms, and like where I am in Southeast Ohio, it is warmer later in the year, like from what people are saying that I'm interacting with, like it's like later and later, it continues to be warmer and warmer, so that's like more time for fungus to get a foothold in everything. So yeah, just thinking about how like things shift over time. It's interesting that it's called fire blight too. That's an interesting name.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it is a fungus, but it does this like crook. And so it looks like the branches have been caught on fire and they curl and they don't drop their leaves in the wintertime. And that's like the telltale sign of fire blight in trees. Wow. But it can also be passed to roses, because roses are also in that family. So it's like, which is a beautiful thing to think of, is roses being in the same family as apple trees, because it's all that like wonderful heart stuff.
Totally. Oh my God. Yes. Do you happen to know like the flower essence of apple? I think didn't you make a crab apple essence a while ago?
I did. Yeah. And it's supposed to be like accepting imperfection And so if you're kind of like a type A personality and like have a hard time having things go a little bit chaotic and messy, it's supposed to help you like regulate that and be okay with change and like withstanding challenges and stuff like that.
Yeah, and like withstanding like the imperfectness of wildness that you don't often get to choose
Yeah.
in the
And I accidentally made the crab apple flower essence because there was a crab apple tree on the property. And when I came out to get the essence, like there was a flower in there. And I was like, okay, touche. Like, I'll be okay with this imperfect dandelion tincture or flower essence.
Love that. Well, yeah, and they're both, like dandelion, I really associate with like freeing up the energy of anger and like being more in touch with our like vital like boundary and like vital fire. And so I love that the crab apple was like, and I will also be included in this. I will also be remembered.
I was like, yep, you're perfect. And
Yeah, that's so cool. Oh, wow. I love it. Well, yeah, is I'm like, okay, we could talk more about apples, we could talk more about tarot, but like, yeah, like where is kind of your intuition leading you around like what's alive for you these days?
I'm trying to go deeper into tarot again. I feel like I've been putting a lot of energy into these like monthly tarot readings, and I've really with the new moon, and I've super enjoyed doing them. But I think I'm probably on like month 10 in a row, and so I'm kind of like, okay, I think this is time to pause for like other people's readings and really like go into my own practice, because it, like each card, you can just keep unlocking meanings behind it forever and ever until the end of the world. And so I feel like it's good to like, now that we're changing seasons and things are getting colder and everything, to start going within my own practice before I come back out in the spring and like share things with people again.
Totally. Yeah, that's a good flow. May I ask about your practice? Like, do you pull like a card every morning, or kind of what's the shape of folks, especially for people who don't have like a daily practice? Like, what's the nice shape that you like for that?
I am a huge fan of one card readings, which some people do not love, and I understand why. I kind of like to leave it as like an open-ended theme for my day, my month, my whatever part of the cycle I'm pulling the one card for, because I find it allows me to make some more connections in my own thought and like kind of let the tarot tell me what it wants to tell me instead of me trying to like decode it almost. And that's been really helpful in my own self-taught practice. And then I have been this year trying to do like a daily tarot card pull. And so I'll pull one card and kind of put it on my altar after I've been journaling and like see how that fits in with my day. I usually pull 12 cards with the winter solstice, one for each of the astrology signs that come up. So I kind of break up time into like when the sun sign is in a sign instead of being like November, January, February. So I'll do, I think it's Aquarius through Capricorn, and I'll pull one card for each month and then see how that lines up throughout the year. And then sometimes I'll pull a card with the new moon and with the full moon to try and like look at those cycles. So I'm a big like pulling cards for time cycles and then like reflecting after that time cycle is over on what happened and how I can connect the themes from that card into what actually happened and have that really tell me what these cards mean to me more so. And I'm like stepping further away from like looking up definitions all the time. But I still, there's some really great like tarot podcasts, and I love to just like turn on the tarot podcast for the card I pulled that day and like have that going while I'm listening to or getting ready for the morning. So I think it's just like depends on where you're at in your practice, like how much outside interaction you want to get from, but I've kind of done a big circle where like I've used to be really heavy into the meanings, and now I'm kind of spiraling back out into being like, well, what are these meanings? Let's like make them bigger and broader and see what they could mean outside of just what I think they mean.
Yeah, totally. I love the creating the space for that, your own associations and your own wisdom to come through. And yeah, especially with the plants and like paired with the archetypes, so much room for that. So I'm curious about some of your lineages and how that might show up in some of the plants that you may or may not pull from the tarot deck, and if you notice some speak to you louder than others, or just when you were talking about kind of creating your own associations with the cards, do you find that some of that comes forward at all for you?
Yeah, I mean, I have a pretty. I'm like starting to dig into my lineages. I knew that I have some like Scandinavian Swedish in there, but I'm not sure totally how much. So I've always kind of like clung to that, but I think I'm more like Scottish and Irish, very much Scottish and Irish. And then I, as far as I can tell, so some of my ancestors came to Massachusetts and founded Dorchester outside of Boston. And then I think they may have been loyalists because somehow they ended up in Nova Scotia. And I found out that like when people went from New England up to Canada, it usually meant that they were loyal to the British Crown. And so I don't have any of that like rebellious New Englander, I think, in me. I have more of the like prim and proper
I don't know
good
about that, but go
Catholics. But there
on.
is this funny story that my dad has been figuring out where I always thought my family all stayed on the East Coast, but I had one ancestor travel to Leadville, Colorado to mine for silver, and he died in a horrific mining accident because like there was a snow slide and they just completely got buried in their cabin in the middle of winter. And there is possibly there is a child that is born with his name after he died. And so it is possibly like an illegitimate child who is born in the Wild West, Colorado, far away from the rest of my family in Nova Scotia. And so there is this kind of like wild person that we don't know, like who the mother was or like where she came from and what her deal was in like the Wild West, Colorado town. And so I'm like, and I don't know much about my mom's side. So I'm starting to try and like look at my lineages, but I don't have a hardcore focus, but I've drawn a lot of my plants from the deck from my experiences in growing up in New England and living in New Mexico. And so those two have stuck out really well. There is some California plants, but I've mostly had people come up to me and be like, "Oh, I can tell you live in New Mexico because you made this deck," or I can tell you grew up on the East Coast because you made this deck. So those are the two that I find come out like are pretty the ones that kind of stick out to me. But I have gathered so much of this information through just like intuition that it's really hard to figure out where the ties are coming from, other than just like my own lived experience, I guess.
Is there any particular card that you're pulling a lot these days?
Ooh, I've been pulling the Five of Cups a lot.
What's that one about? That's
That's
there
like,
is abundance, but like what's hard to see or like appreciate.
it's kind of like walking away from something that you're like, ooh, I really like this. And so I think in the traditional Rider-Waite deck, it's like a guy in a cloak who's staring down at these like three tipped over cups, and then there's two standing up in the background. So it's kind of like, yeah, you're focused on the stuff that's a mess right now, but like you still have two standing cups behind you. You should like turn around and focus on that. And so I think in my deck, I'm trying to remember which one that one is. It's the Lily card, I believe, which has a really weird association in my deck because my mom is a florist. And so she always told me that big lilies were used in funeral pieces. And so even though it's this big, beautiful, like grabs your attention flower, it kind of like stands in this place of like sadness and loss and transitioning into something else. So that's a card I've been pulling a lot lately. And it's wonderful. But I did pull the World card once, and it was really entertaining. It was a very snarky kind of world experience where I pulled two cards, trying to be like, should I stay in this situation or should I go in this situation? And for the one where I was gonna go, I got Fresh Start, Bloodroot. And I was like, okay, yeah. And then for staying was the World card, Completion. And I was like, yeah, if I if I start over, I start over. If I stay, I will finish it. Okay, thanks, tarot.
Here you go.
That's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm in a world place, even though I haven't been pulling the world card, which is why it was very interesting that when you reached out about the world card, I was like, oh man, I feel like I've been hanging out with this card for months. Like,
oh, interesting. How do you see that?
Just
in
mostly
terms of like the staying or going or finishing or
finishing things up and realizing it's time to like move on to the next thing. And that like, you've done all you can, everything's going, it's wonderful, lovely, whatever, but like you need to move on to keep going on your path of human growth or whatever it is. And that's really how I see the world card, is kind of like, okay, this chapter's over, but like, let's go to the next chapter.
Yeah. And like, yeah, appreciating the sweetness of that, like in between too, of being like, here's this like tiny little rest between the side of the wheel and that side of the wheel, like cherish that.
Yeah. How do I nourish myself with this fruit while I'm in this place of like processing and digesting and moving on to the next phase?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. You know what card I pull all the time is the Two of Pentacles, the maple leaf. I pull that, especially in relationship to my work. I pull it like all the time. And in fact, it's, I don't know what you make about like bent cards, but it's like creased. And I don't know how it got creased, but like the corner of it got like dog-eared or marked. And I was, and so, and then for me, you know, it's about balance and like not doing too much. And change and being okay with change. But it was just like, I pulled that card so much. It doesn't matter how much I shuffle, like so much. Oh my God. At least I did when I was like getting ready to leave like Oakland and California. It was just like, okay, what are we doing today? Oh, it's another Two of Pentacles. Okay.
Thank you. I know.
Oh yeah. Have you ever like worked with like cards that have become like marked in your deck by any, like any way, like folded or something like that?
I think I have one card right now where like one of the edges is like significant. Like I can see that one is different, but I haven't actually like picked it out to see what it is because I'm constantly worried that like, then I'll fixate on it. So I'm almost like, just don't know what card it is that's dog-eared and like, just keep going. Let's see. But I should look at it because it really is telling. And I feel like it does kind of be like, hey, this is a big thing that is going to keep coming up like throughout your whole life.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, okay, fine.
Exactly. But at least maples are beautiful and so sweet.
Yeah, they are sweet. They are beautiful. They're turning right as we speak. It finally got cold enough for them to change colors here.
Wow. That seems late.
It is late. Yeah, it's late. That's what all the old timers that I have been talking to have been saying. So
it's really late here too. Our leaves are changing and I'm like, usually it's like been done since September at this point in northern New Mexico because the altitude's so high, but they're just starting. I'm like, okay, that's long.
Cool. do you have any advice for folks who are kind of just either getting into tarot or like associating with plants in like a symbolic and magical way, or any words of wisdom?
I think just go for it. I mean, like, just don't eat everything. That's obviously something that needs a little bit more research, but if you're just like going off of like trying to learn tarot or trying to learn the spiritual energetics of plants, I feel like just like sitting and like being present, which I feel like can be hard because it's hard to even be present with humans who are on your same wavelength, never mind a spiritual being who like communicates on a different wavelength than you. It can feel a little silly to sit there or with your tarot deck or whatever, but just like do what makes you feel comfortable and like see what comes up for you. And there's so many resources and there's so many different paths and there's so many different meanings that it's almost best to see like what's coming out of you first and getting an honest and like really holistic relationship with yourself so that you can have that clarity to see through all the different meanings and all the different stuff as you start pulling through and creating relationships with that.
Yeah, it seems like a regular like daily practice, like the one card is like a great way to build a foundation of that like self-knowing.
Yeah, it really, yeah. I for years I was like, everyone should have a daily practice. And I'd be like, I don't have a daily practice. And then when I finally did, I was like, oh my gosh, this is, now I see the worth in this. And yeah, it's hard. And sometimes you're like, I don't want to pull a card and like figure out what's going on today, that I don't have time. But it creates a relationship with yourself and promises that you keep with yourself and being an aware person that I think it pays off over time, even though it seems like a small thing.
Totally. Sometimes I don't pull a card when I really like yesterday's card and I feel like that's cheating.
I do that too.
But also I'm kind of like, maybe today we, you know, I'm following my intuition and this like this energy is big and we're letting it ride for a little bit. And
then exactly. You maybe you don't need to overcomplicate how many meanings and thoughts and stuff you have for that day. And you need 2 days to like process it.
Yeah, totally. I like that. I mean, like kind of having a light touch with it too. And just being like, meh, you know, it is and it isn't all the things. Like yes. It has meaning and it's also fluid and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, this has been such a delight. I want to like point people to find where they can find this deck and find more information about you. Where can folks go to learn more about your work and your beautiful offerings?
So you can go to either my website or my Instagram. My Instagram is empty and amazing, all one word. And then my website is www.emptyandamazing.com. And you'll get to see like all my art, astrology stuff, tarot stuff. I do tarot tips and things like that. So those are the two places to find out more.
Cool. And we'll have those in the show notes for folks to look up. And I understand you are working on a new deck that is all about potatoes. Would you tell us about this? And like, why?
So the why goes back.
Why the whole potato?
So the why actually goes back really far to this one time where I was like, what if my shtick as an artist was just potatoes? And I like, it was a joke. I just was drawing potatoes. If I didn't know what to do, I'd paint potatoes. And then people really started to love it and like started to know me as the potato person. And I found out that there's 4,000 different varieties of potato. And so that is plenty of potatoes to make a 78 card tarot deck. So for probably since 2018, I've been trying to like get enough potato information to make an entirely potato deck that will probably lean a little bit more on like Rider-Waite style imagery for the meanings behind the cards rather than like knowing the card itself. Like dandelion, I kind of in the tarot of plants like lean on people's association with dandelion. There's not too many visual cues for the Fool card. So yeah, that's my big massive project that I'm knee deep in, and I just kind of thought it was funny and other people seem to really like it and it makes people smile and it just seems like a lighthearted, fun way to have a tarot practice. I guess
the tarot of potatoes. I wonder if there's something in your lineage and your Irish ancestry that's like, hello, will you find out more about potatoes for us and like different varieties of potatoes? Because that one variety that we had, it really doesn't go so good.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, 21st century potatoes, it turns out, are really crazy because there's a lot of patented potatoes and like lawsuits and stuff going on around potatoes because of genetic modifications and stuff like that. So there's like Frito-Lay, we don't know what the potato is, but there is a patented like 4 different type of Frito-Lay potato that is used for all of their products. So there's so much potato lore for hundreds of thousands of years, maybe even.
Oh my gosh. Okay, hold on. The internet got a little bit and you were telling me a very important information about Frito-Lays. Will you please rewind and tell me about what's up with Frito-Lay potatoes?
So apparently there is patented potatoes. And so Frito-Lay has at least like four or five different patented potatoes that like we don't know what they're called. They're just known as Frito-Lay proprietary potatoes. And there have been lawsuits, I believe, in India with farmers where farmers have been found growing these potatoes because they have for this, that, or whatever reason. And like Frito-Lay is trying to sue these farmers because they have these supposed proprietary potatoes somehow. So there's like some potato scandal in recent years.
Frito-Lay, no, you leave those farmers
Right?
alone.
So I'm trying to bring in like that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, and potato in your taro plant is, I'm just looking it up now, it's the four of autumn or pentacles, and in your little short guide it says versatile, narrow focus.
That's a hard meaning, I find, but I feel like it's the double-edged sword of like putting all your eggs in one basket, where sometimes like potatoes are super versatile, like you can use it in so many different ways, but also if you plant one type of potato, you're not going to have a good time if something happens to that one kind of
Yes.
potato.
Oh my gosh. Your ancestors can attest. Wow.
Yes.
That, thank you. I feel like I'm gonna have to invite you back for a potato episode. I'm like,
Yes.
I don't know what I'm gonna do in December, and when it's cold. Cool. Well, I am so excited for your next iteration, your next artistic offering. I so appreciate you for coming on and talking to us. Yeah, I really love your art, and thank you for the gift of your deck. I use it all the time,
Oh.
and yeah, thanks for your joyous spirit and bringing forward this like joy that you're describing when you're like new deck. You're like, it makes people happy, and I'm like, yay, like may you have abundant joy in your life. So thank you.
You for everything you do and all of the education that you share to like so many different people.
Thanks. Yeah, it's fun. All right, well, that's our interview for today, and hope you catch us next time here on Herb at the End of the World. You've been listening to The Herb at the End of the World, a podcast created by me, Samwise Raritan, community herbalist, teacher, and organizer of the Self Heal Herbs Mobile Free Clinic. All my offerings are freely offered and community supported. It's important to me that all my work in the free clinic and all the content I create through the podcast will always be offered without a cost barrier. If you feel nourished and inspired by these projects and want to support more people getting connected to healing and learning, please consider being a supporter on Patreon by searching for Samwise Raritan Community Herbalist. Any level you can give at is immensely appreciated, as it supports me in being able to live my most joyous and authentic gift to this world. I am so grateful and so in awe of the patrons who are prioritizing imagining a new and vibrant way to care for each other in this life. If you can't give money energy in this wild time, totally understand. And another big way you can help out the podcast is to give us a 5-star rating review on Apple Podcasts or other places you download your audio. That makes a really big difference in letting more people know about these projects. Thanks for listening and being a part of creating revolutionary dialogue in your own circles. I wish you joy and healing in your journeys, and until next time.